I'm happy to introduce you to someone who is no stranger to Christian literature. In fact, her name is almost synonymous. Liz Curtis Higgs joins me today by phone from her home in Kentucky to discuss her latest title, Here Burns My Candle. Hi, Liz. It's great to talk to you again.
Always a blessing to chat with you, too.
Now, tell me why you've chosen to set the biblical story of Ruth against the backdrop of 18th century Scotland.
Well, of course, the Book of Ruth is remarkable. It has everything you could want in a story. It has all the tragedy that a writer hopes for. That's the stuff we work with, you know. So it's got death, betrayal, famine, heartache, oh, the drama. But it also has all the joy that readers long for. Fresh hope, redemption, a happy marriage, a new life, all the good stuff. And it's a timeless story, Ruth is, so it fits in really any century or any setting. However, it works especially well in mid-18th century Scotland, and here's why. That's the time of Bonnie Prince Charlie, the young pretender to the throne who gathers his supporters around him and marches into Edinburgh in September of 1745 when our story begins. He's there for about 6 weeks, intent on wooing the Lowlanders to his cause. Of course, he manages that with two particular young men. And, of course, what we get then is war, and that leads to loss, and that leads to difficult choices and to a desperate need for a brighter future. And so the timing of Ruth in mid-18th century Scotland worked exceptionally well. It's one of those things that looked good on paper, but I'm excited to report it actually worked in the book itself.
And since many readers may already be familiar with the story of Ruth, not to give anything away, but what surprises do you have in store to keep them reading?
Well, and you know, that is the big challenge when you're doing a biblical story, and particularly one that everybody knows as well as they know Ruth and Naomi's story. Well, obviously, I hope that the characters themselves, my characters, Elizabeth Kerr, Marjorie Kerr, will capture their hearts. I worked really hard to make them complex and multi-layered, not all good and bad. It's just so easy to write good characters and bad characters, but they don't ring true. So I tried to write characters that are both like us, which makes their behavior, you know, kind of unpredictable, especially to me. Here's how it works when I write. I always know where I'm headed, but I'm seldom absolutely sure how I'm going to get there, and I let the characters lead me. So inevitably, they surprise me, and I have to hope that'll surprise the readers too. We also get to meet characters that in the biblical story only get a single line. Naomi's two sons, by the way, are just described by name in the Bible, Mahlon and Chilion, and that's all we know about them. But knowing the meaning of their names, weakling and pining, means that for my characters, my Donald and my Andrew, one of them ends up being weak morally and the other one weak physically. So that will be a surprise, I think, for readers, just to see what I do with those single name characters without a storyline in Scripture. There'll also be a false redeemer. I'm not telling you who, but we're going to think, oh, this must be the Boaz character. Trust me, he's not. There's also an unexpected twist near the end, as there must be in such novels, a dark moment when we fear all is lost. And just a reminder, my previous novels were all based on stories from Scripture, too. And yet, readers told me they just couldn't turn the pages fast enough, frankly, even knowing, surely knowing what was coming. Of course, I'm going to pray that will be true with Here Burns My Candle as well.
What aspects of your character's experience do you believe will resonate most clearly with your readers and why?
Well, first of all, family dynamics play a big part of this story. We have mother, daughter, mother, sons. We have mother-in-law, daughters-in-law, and so forth. And whenever you're exploring a family relationship up close and personal, especially when they're going through hard times, I think it gives us a chance to examine our own relationships. Obviously, I had a dear mother, and I've had a mother-in-law for 23 years, so I draw from those experiences. And here's a little surprise. By the time Here Burns My Candle publishes, I'll have a daughter-in-law. And so my relationships with these dear women impact how I tell the story. But also, writing the story has impacted my relationships with these people because it's made me look at them more closely and figure out, am I really as faithful as Ruth to my own mother-in-law? How do I treat her? How do I want my daughter-in-law to treat me? All those kind of questions. I think the reader will go through that same exercise. One of the wonderful things about fiction is when a character experiences disappointment or discouragement or loss, we vicariously go there without having to actually go there, which is a blessing. Sometimes when there's a lot of drama on the page, you're kind of glad you can stick your bookmark in and close it and go back to your own life. But also when the characters feel love and joy and satisfaction, we get to feel those things too. And so hopefully I'll be taking my readers on that wonderful roller coaster of emotions that they assure me they really like to go on.
Liz, you are one of only a few authors who have a faithful yet distinct readership in both fiction and nonfiction. What motivates you to continue writing for both audiences, and what do you think readers are hoping for when they pick up one of your novels?
Well, to answer the motivation question, honestly, reading the Bible motivates me because I want to tell these stories that I read in as many ways as possible. So I want to tell them before a live audience at a speaking engagement so I can share the story on the platform in person, see how it affects them. And it's almost a dramatization when I speak because we really go for it, really tell the story. Laugh when the characters laugh and weep when they weep. Then it motivates me to want to tell the same story in nonfiction, because then I can go verse by verse, do tons of research, and really work hard to explore the biblical story. But then the Bible motivates me to tell it in a fictional way, scene by scene rather than verse by verse, retelling the story in a new time and place, because then I get to use my imagination, I get to ask the hard questions, and I get to look for those truths that at the very heart of the story that transcend time, that go beyond the page, through history, all the way, you know, they're just timeless, they keep going. Also, of course, my readers motivate me, and I hear from them in lots of ways. Letters, of course, emails, through my website, in person when I get to meet readers, and on Facebook. So far, I've got 18,000 readers in my database worldwide who hear from me by mail. I've got 6,000 readers who get my email newsletter, O Gentle Reader, and 3,000 friends on Facebook. So my readers have lots of ways to let me know what they want. And interestingly, they are two very different groups of people. My nonfiction readers, they respond to my style of teaching, which is to say solid research, some humor, lots of encouragement, lots of heart. My fiction readers, and there, believe me, is almost no overlap between the fiction readers and the nonfiction readers. They're two distinct audiences. My fiction readers respond to the emotion of the story. They want to climb into those characters' hearts and live that experience with them. And that is, frankly, best done through story rather than fact. Here's the way my readers describe my historical novels. I'd much rather let them tell the tale. One woman said, "I laughed, I grieved, I hoped, I rejoiced. How lovely to know that we could travel all those roads together." Another woman wrote, "It's refreshing to read Christian fiction that isn't just a feel-good love story. God's mercy, grace, and love shine through." So that's what my readers are expecting, and I certainly hope we're going to deliver that. Believe me, it's easy to stay motivated when you have such responsive, supportive readers. And so there's the story of Here Burns My Candle. I cannot wait to have it in your hands.
Liz, it's been wonderful to join you today. And so before we wrap up, I need to ask you to say Edinburgh one more time.
Edinburgh. I know.
It's almost as if you were from Scotland.
Well, you know, that's just how they say it there, so you kind of get in the habit. I've been to Scotland 10 times doing research, so I'm ready to move there, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Once again, author of Here Burns My Candle, Liz Curtis-Higgs. Have a great day.